Well, hey there, gang. It's good to talk to you. We aren't going to have a full episode this week because, you know, sometimes schedules happen. It's this little thing where my time doesn't line up with Cole's time, that doesn't line up with Chris's time, that doesn't line up with Curtis's time or anybody else's time. But you know who it does line up with? That's my buddy Brad Austin. Found him just wandering around. I think he was lost.
I don't know. I was a lost little boy.
So I was like, well, we have these good little listeners that like to participate in asking us questions and things like that. And I feel like I'm not just going to hang you out to dry. I'm going to answer some fucking questions. That's what I'll do.
I like questions.
So we're going to do the Not Cool and the Answer segment with Brad Austin as our guest.
Okay.
Co-host slash answerer slash not cool teller.
Wow.
That's a thing.
I've been called many a thing, but I've never been called that.
Why don't we first tell you about our Amazon banner? So you got your toolbar. All you got to do is go take off that Amazon link and replace it with a link to PastScaryPod.com. And then every time you're like, hey, feel like buying some shit, maybe I can just go on Amazon and buy it. And instead of doing that, you can just be like, oh, I'll just click the toolbar, PastScaryPod.com, click the Amazon banner there. I don't have to pay Alex or anybody from Pass the Gravy anything extra. It doesn't cost me a thing more. And I get my same shit, and I just put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship. That's what I do. So, Amazon banner, PastScaryPod.com. Don't go to Amazon. They just want to know you got there through us. Takes you maybe one click more, nothing.
You're always looking out for people.
That's what I'm trying to do. It's trying to help. Trying to help.
Like
people helping people.
It is people
that's
helping
what,
people.
That's, I like what I, that's what this podcast is all
it,
about.
It is about that.
Passing the gravy to our fellow man.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That sounded very homoerotic.
Homoerotic. That's why I'm slightly aroused.
All right, why don't we start off with our Not Cool segment. Brad, I don't know if you've listened to the podcast or not, but every week we like to tell our listeners a little something that we don't think is very cool. Perhaps somebody cut you off and you're like, hey, man, that's not cool. That's basically something that would get that reaction out of someone.
True. Well, let's put this first. I do the cutting off, not everybody else. So I cut
I am
them
the
off.
Only one that's allowed so, to do so.
Yes, I'm the guy who's uncool. What happened with me, and I guess it probably happens from time to time with people, if you are involved in social events, people go to social events. I'm rarely invited, but at this time I was.
It was a special occasion.
It was a special occasion. They were just like, let's get him. Let's go ahead and
invite him. We felt bad for him.
The invitation's out. We can't tell him he can't come back. just let him come over. It's the guy who is slightly inebriated before, as you get there.
So you get there and he's already just...
You get there and he's definitely...
He's already seven or eight deep.
Definitely, yes.
At least.
Yeah, he's feeling good. He's feeling happy. And once you find the one strain of commonalities between you two, he sticks within that thing and stays on it for the whole conversation. To the point where...
Like everything revolves around that one thing that you have in common.
That one thing. It could be, I read this book, or it could be, I play this instrument. Bam! There
Boom.
It goes. Now that sets it off. So now you're just kind of sitting there and having to talk about this one thing. He's all into it, and in the meantime, spitting on you because...
Ooh, he's a spitter.
Spitter. Niagara Falls there. Yeah.
Yeah, that little like spit guard.
I
want to wear a face mask.
I should have brought mine that I have.
Especially a SARS mask.
A SARS mask. Specifically for occasions like these, sometimes I
always
take
keep one in my glove box.
Right? Just in case.
You never know.
You never know when you have a spitter. So then those kind of people you have to almost have a passer off person who comes by, and then the moment they say a word, because the very drunk person who's into the conversation is easily distracted by somebody else or
anything.
Something else. Yes. So that's the best thing to have, is the person to come over, and then all of a sudden they say something, and then that gets him off on the other person speaking with whoever it is that just came and said that. All of a sudden you're cut free.
I gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, and they just talk. You don't even have to say, I gotta go. They just now start talking to that one person who just said that one word, and now they're like, well, let me talk to you about this, blah, 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 now that you said that. And you're like, I can make my escape.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah. Just
saying
walk
that to
out.
The other person that is now trapped in conversation with them.
Oh, exactly. And you say a slight prayer for them as you kind of walk off because, you know, it's...
Thoughts and prayers.
It's horrible.
So how long did you have to engage in conversation with this?
Well, it was about
individual.
It was about a 5 to 10 minutes, although it felt like an hour.
Right. It always feels way longer.
And then what you have to do is you sort of have to find ways to not to avoid that person throughout the whole
for the rest of the time.
Yeah. Do you like? Oh, I'm gonna get a beer. You know what? I don't need that beer.
I don't want him to see me getting a beer. Because he obviously likes beer.
Exactly.
And I don't want to talk to him anymore.
This has been shown within the last 30 minutes.
You've made me give up alcohol.
I'm officially done.
That is a very good not cool.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be me. Maybe I'm overly paranoid.
No, I don't think so. I think that that does happen quite a bit at parties and get-togethers.
So I'm not a jerk?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good. I would say
the other guy is a jerk for making you sit through that bullshit.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, I got one that's probably not as good as that. All right. But has this ever happened to you? I happen to live in the same apartment complex as a guy with an overly sensitive car alarm.
Ooh.
And I'm not talking about, like, I understand what a car alarm's for.
Okay.
Like, you bump into it, you hit it, you try and open the door, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I mean, like, anytime it thunders at all, like, oh. I'm not hard thunder.
He's one of those.
But beep, 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 beep. And it does the little chirp thing, the beep, beep,
yep.
where it's like warning you.
Know. Yeah.
You close a car door, beep, beep.
Oh.
Like if you were to jump up and then land.
And then land.
Beep, beep.
It would go.
And all the time, it's going off. And I don't live next to the garage necessarily, but I still hear it.
Oh,
and it's just one of those where you're like, dude, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe find a way to tone that shit down.
And they can adjust that, too. That's the thing. They can adjust.
I think you can adjust the sensitivity. I've never had to do that on any of my cars.
Now, on his defense, he may not be happy with that as well. I don't imagine anybody who's that happy with that when your car
It's just
that.
A pain in the ass.
Oh,
I mean, I've started kind of just making a game of it where it's like, oh, I'm parking next to this guy. All right, I'm going to slam my car door and make his alarm go off because that's why you shouldn't have an alarm like that.
Yeah, play a game.
But like when I get home at like 10:30 at night, beep, 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 beep. Yep, you get to get up and come turn it off.
See, yeah, that's the ultimate problem is that you have to go up and do that. I would lose my mind if I had to do that.
I figure if you can make it as much of a hassle to them as it is an annoyance to you, even though I feel like I'm being very
jerky. You kind of are.
Because like it doesn't, I could ignore it.
But I think
but
what
it's
you're
just
trying
one
to,
of those. It's the principle.
Oh yeah, and you're
is
trying
that
to
fair to say.
Yeah, I think it is, and you're trying to prove a point.
Right, like I would want somebody to be like, "Dude, your car alarm is fucking annoying." Mm-hmm. If I had a car alarm like that, yeah. And I'd be like, "Oh, maybe I'll see if I can look into this."
Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, hey, I was just merely whistling Yankee Doodle, and it went off.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to get that fixed, bro. I mean, we can't be having this.
Like anytime anybody with a motorcycle goes through the parking garage, anytime a Like, gosh. Sometimes people bottom out and beep.
Absolute worst.
All the time.
Absolute worst.
I probably at least once a day I hear that car alarm going off.
That's crazy.
It's pretty bad.
Like, that should make that person
I would
want
think
to change
so.
That.
I would think so.
Like, why? I'm probably annoying a lot of people here. Why not just fix it and help out a lot of people?
Yeah. Because I guess some people are selfish.
They are selfish.
Some people are selfish.
They are selfish. You can't win.
And that, my friends, is not cool for this week. Now, before we move on to our final segment, before I send you guys into a best of, I guess it's not a best of, it's a, we'll call it a re-release.
Ooh, wow, re-release.
No, is that a re-
No, that's fancy.
Pass the Gravy Classics.
Oh,
right?
In the classics. And, do they have a collection
set? We happened to interview a vampire last year.
Nice.
And we got a chance to talk to Vodalok the Vampire. And ask him all kinds of vampire-y questions. He could try and kind of set the record straight. And we'll get to let you guys hear that again, if you haven't already, after I tell you about MeUndies. Did you know that 90% of your life is spent in your underwear? And your underwear gets old fast. I know that feeling of putting on old saggy underwear, but you need to know that feeling of wearing high-quality underwear that's 2 times softer than cotton. You need to know about MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable underwear you will ever wear, and it's insane how good they make you feel. They fit perfectly and don't ride up on you. They literally pull moisture away from your skin to help you stay cool. My balls feel fantastic. I'm wearing my MeUndies right now, and they feel great. They have cool styles for both men and women, and they all look great. Check out photos at MeUndies.com. This quality of underwear would normally retail for 2 times the MeUndies price. No retail middleman means more savings for you. I'll make it easy for you. Go to MeUndies.com and enter promo code PASS to receive 20% off your first order and free shipping. Save even more when you buy a pack of them. They even guarantee your satisfaction. Or your first pair is free. That's MeUndies.com, promo code PASS. All right, let's move on to my favorite segment of the show. It's the answer segment. And our listeners pretty much will send us in some questions at PassAgreePod@gmail.com or at PassAgreePod on Twitter. Just send us in your questions. We usually pick the worst possible ones. I like the outside-the-box thinkers. Yeah. I don't like the, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
I'm not, that's not me.
No.
That's
looking,
not me.
You're looking more, for.
You gotta try.
Yeah.
You gotta try.
Gotta try.
So why don't,
try to
why don't we start off with one from Andrew Talley. Oh, and he says, would you say that the best angle to approach any problem from is the triangle?
God.
See? Got some big brains.
That is. That's
big brains on these listeners.
That's some deep philosophical stuff. To answer that.
I actually always approach every problem from the obtuse angle.
Ooh, gotcha. That's that's quite the angle.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah. Many times I ask people, "What's your angle?"
There we go.
And then they give me the angle most
acute
preferred. Acute or the right angle.
I guess the right angle would probably be the best way to.
The best way. There we go. Yeah, that's
so,
it.
That is incorrect, Andrew.
Yes.
Best angle would be the right angle.
Right angle. There.
That was
get out
straight
your,
into the point.
Yeah, get out your protractor.
Let's learn. Learn a few things, Andrew.
Learn it.
But of course he is, because he's writing into us.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. He's a fountain of knowledge over here.
All right, Brooke Kyler weighs in with her question, and it is, do car factories have that new car smell?
That must be, yes, I would imagine that must be the best smell in the world. I would hope so.
In certain parts of those factories, I would assume, because I bet a lot of them don't smell very good.
We may have a lot of factory workers here.
I don't know how big the demographic is with Pass the Gravy and factory workers.
Factory workers?
I'm not hating on anyone. I'm just saying factories can smell sometimes.
So you're saying it would
maybe
probably
not necessarily the workers.
Not necessarily the workers,
but what is in the factory itself.
The materials.
There's a lot of rubber.
Yeah, a lot of rubber. A lot of cutting.
A lot of other things. Welding, perhaps.
Welding, the smell of grease, which I love. Who doesn't love that?
I don't know. I do not know.
Mm-mm. No, the best smells are new car smells, a Home Depot, or any sort of hardware store.
Okay.
And shoes. New shoes.
New shoes would probably be mine. But the new car smell. Like when you get that new, when you get a new car.
Yeah.
I remember when I got mine my senior year in school. I was just like, I'm never gonna do it. There's nothing that's gonna make this go away.
Go away.
And it lasted like 3 months.
And then about 5-10 fast food runs
God
later.
Damn it.
Yeah, it's just
thanks awful. A lot, McDonald's. You
and
fuck.
And it's old disappeared McDonald's because it's not there anymore.
Right.
You just have that smell hanging around, which is the worst.
When the old McDonald's smell is the worst smell.
It
quickly goes from, I'd love some chicken McNuggets to,
yeah, who farted?
Gross.
Yeah.
I want to throw up.
It's.
I would say that the factories themselves don't have the new car smell, but I would say that parts of the factories, such as the new cars made in the factories, probably have that new car smell.
And you got to ask yourself, what makes that smell? Like, what are the exact things that make up that? Because
it's the magic of building a car.
It is the magic. Because I would imagine those parts separately don't smell like that. But when you have them all together.
The combination. That would be interesting to find out exactly what makes it smell like that, though. And then that the air freshener company that's like, oh, we're going to make the new car smell thing. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's the furthest thing from new car smell ever.
Exactly. It smells like a Christmas tree or.
Yeah.
Or.
It's dumb.
Yankee candle store. It's awful.
Well, we are moving on to our next question from Jared Balky. He gave us a real brain buster. and says, would you trust a lawyer with a lava lamp in his office?
A lawyer with a lava lamp in his office.
Would you trust a lawyer who gets his office supplies from the office supply partner? If you run a law office out of the office supply section of a Home Depot, are you a trustworthy lawyer?
Does he get all his supplies from,
Sharper Image?
Sharper Image. Or what is the other horrible place?
Spencer's?
Spencer's, exactly. He is automatically telling everybody, hey, I shop at Spencer's. And I have some.
A lava lamp, is that telling, you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look in his drawers, and he'll probably have some dice with boobs on it.
A lava lamp, I see. You're not the lawyer for me, right?
Ooh, here I like go. That. That's your calling card.
That's the new one.
That's a bumper sticker.
So you just don't trust a guy like that?
Ooh.
Maybe, like, depending on the case, I guess. Like, I'm not going to want him to represent me in a murder trial.
Yeah, so you're saying is maybe if he's maybe a family lawyer, maybe
perhaps
divorce.
I don't know, do you want a guy like that to get you out of a ticket? Because he seems like a kind of guy you'd like to have a beer with.
Yeah.
Got a lava lamp? Hey,
and he
maybe
could,
we could have a few drinks.
And he
not
could connect.
Because you're the lawyer, so you obviously got people that you call.
Exactly.
Because you're watching out.
And he seems like a normal guy who could connect with you on all the levels of, hey, I know what it's like to...
Dude, I got a lava lamp, for Christ's sake.
What does this tell
obviously,
you?
Obviously, I am the everyman lawyer.
Yeah, so I'll say a case-by-case basis, I guess. Yeah, I'll
definitely don't get them to represent you for anything super serious.
No. Federal fence, no.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
That was a good question, Jared.
That was a good question. That makes you think. I wish I could come up with stuff like this.
Chris Packard writes us in and says, does shotgunning a beer in the shower make me a clean partier or a shower animal?
Oh.
That's deep.
That is deep.
Some deep stuff we got.
A clean partier or a shower animal? You know what? I would have said you would have had to shotgun a few beforehand before you get into a shower and shotgun. Because I would imagine the average person is not really sober going into a shower and then shotgunning.
You don't like to just start your day off with a nice little cold one?
A cold one?
I like to shower with a beer.
Shower with
a party.
Beer? That's hardcore party right there.
Or alcoholic.
Or an alcoholic.
That might be it.
He may have a problem.
You may be an alcoholic.
Yeah. Not a good problem to where it's like, oh, no, he's a cool guy. Yeah, he's just a little crazy.
He
like,
shotgunned six beers in the shower.
Yeah.
He was hammered right after he woke up.
Exactly. And then hopefully he shaved before and is not going for shaving after.
I do like the idea, though, of just, you know, like, I don't want it to get everywhere.
That's
I don't
true.
Want to get beer all over my clothes. I don't want to have to drive home smelling like beer because some dripped on my shirt.
True. You know,
I'll just get it out of the way.
I can give him that.
Now, wouldn't it be weird, though, if you were like, you have a party and you're like, hold on, I gotta go get drunk real fast. And you go strip down and get in the shower. I'll be right back.
It's like, did he just walk
what
into
happened?
The shower
did
with
he...
a six pack?
Where did this beer?
Everybody's like, oh my God, he is.
Woo! Like, did you just do that in the shower?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to make a mess.
Yeah, I think you would have the whole party stunned and just maybe even get a round of applause after
or,
that. That would be.
Like, should we all just start doing this stuff? We should all just have, like, shower parties. I'm not saying we got to be naked.
Can we, though?
If you want.
Okay.
I'm not,
okay.
I mean, that's an definitely an idea.
Okay.
I'm just spitballing here.
Okay. I'll take it.
So, yeah, just like, everybody, come on over. Go to, like, you can't do it, I guess, in a house because you're not going to have
enough room.
But, like, let's say we go to a gym. Huh?
Ah. Okay.
You and the boys
shoot some hoops.
Want to shotgun some beers
after playing a basketball
so
match?
Like, there's not you don't gotta be gay about it.
No, you know what I'm saying? Dude, just
not that there's anything wrong with that. There's anything wrong with that. But I'm just saying, like, hey, let's all go hang out here. These clothes are sweaty anyways. I'll just stay and let them get wet.
Just dudes
brought
being
my bathing
dudes.
Suit, maybe. Who knows?
Dudes being dudes. Yeah.
Shotgun a few beers.
It's bros being bros, man.
I think
just
that's a
out.
Brilliant idea.
I think that would shower parties.
I would say you would be a clean partier or a shower animal? That was the main question, and we really got away from that.
Yeah, we did. We did go off topic. We went way off topic. However, I would say he's a shower animal because you could be a clean partier and not necessarily have to have right. a shower. But if you're showering...
A clean partier is somebody that's like, no thanks.
Yeah.
And like just cleans up after everybody, which is a great guy. Oh, everybody likes that guy.
That's who you want on your team.
Yeah. You want that to be your roommate.
Yes. Yes. Or your cousin, maybe.
Something like that. Somebody that hangs out enough to where they clean up.
Or somebody who's sort of like, you know, you just... It's the guy you invite who feels just joyed that he was invited to something.
Right.
And
oh,
you know.
I show them to invite me again, so I'll do all this stuff. That, like, you know, they'll definitely invite me back because I picked up everything.
Exactly. That guy.
Yeah, everybody likes that guy. I'll go shower animal as well.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. That's
a really good,
question. We'll go shower.
Shower animal with borderline alcoholism.
Borderline alcohol, yeah.
All right, and our final question... I guess it isn't really much of a question as an observation. Mm-hmm. It's from David Garber. And he says, isn't it a good thing that piranhas... Can't even get through the question without laughing. Isn't it a good thing that piranhas aren't birds? I think I know why I picked this one.
Yes.
Yes. The answer to that would be yes.
I would agree wholeheartedly that I don't think any of us could step foot outside or would ever want to step foot outside if we knew that they were just flying.
You just walk outside.
Just, yeah.
No!
All of a sudden.
Robirds!
Oh my God, my ear! No, that'd be horrible.
I don't know, sharks as birds? Would that be worse?
Oh, that would be worse.
But good. Sharks aren't always just looking to fuck shit up. Piranhas are down to eat meat whenever they see it, right? Do piranhas get full?
I think they do get full. They might just have a little...
Well, I'm only basing my knowledge of piranhas off of any movie I've ever seen.
Off of any movie you've ever
seen. And that's mostly what my knowledge of sharks is based on, but I've seen Shark Week a few times on the Discovery Channel, so I'd say I'm a little bit more qualified.
I'll go with you on that. I will agree with you on that. But however, I do say that some birds can act as piranhas sometimes.
Like which birds?
Blackbirds. And we no reason to bring race into this. I could go out.
I didn't even think of it.
I'm just saying.
Let's call them African American birds.
They're, yeah.
Let's, get it right. Let's get it right. Get it right.
The proper nomenclature. No.
I apologize for anyone that was offended by his comments.
Birds around this building have dive bomb me when I go out and walk. And I have.
Come at you?
Yes. No, yes. They will dive bomb you. You know you're not going to get hurt, but at the same time, you feel violated because they come down on you because you're near their nest.
I would punch it.
Oh, I want to.
Punch
I just
the
want,
shit out of it.
Brah, just knock it down. And I have changed the direction of where I walk now, the path where I walk based on those birds.
have you
not
really?
Afraid of shit. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way.
I ain't got time for that shit.
I got time for that. No. I will not be violated by a bird. I do.
So blackbirds are the most, like, piranhas. I don't know, because aren't blue jays the kind that'll go peck at you?
Blue jays, they're quite defensive. Why does it sound like you have, like, a zoologist on? Like, I'm like, yeah, blue jay, birds
Brad
are...
Austin, our resident zoologist.
Zoologist, yes.
We actually talk to him about any animal-related questions, mostly birds.
Mainly the avian type. Yeah, that's good. That's good we don't have piranhas in the air because I think...
I had a dog that always got attacked by blue jays when I was really young, and then that stopped when my dad bought a pellet gun, and there were no more blue jays.
Somehow they infrequented...
It was like they just went away. They migrated. Yep. Apparently, that's what I was told.
Apparently.
No, they fly south, and I'm like, we live in Tennessee. Where else are they going? We're pretty south.
I think the word got out. I think the word got out, and they were just like, no, we're not.
It's winter.
Yeah.
Why would they?
Yeah, but this guy is nuts. He's shooting all of us. He's taking all of us out.
Yeah, at least birds are one of those where you can take care of it.
Yeah.
You know? They're not like a wild rabid dog where you look like a bad person if you take out a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But a bird, you're like, fuck that.
Yeah. And they just pop, and you're like, oh, okay.
Even like a shit-talking parrot. Nobody would really care.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome because they live forever.
They do.
Yeah.
I have a cousin that had two parrots, and one would talk. His name was Scooter, and the other one's name was Bell. And Bell didn't ever say anything, but just would squawk. But Scooter learned to say, hush, Bell. And so anytime Bell would make a sound, hush, Bell!
That's awesome.
Wow, you're just shit-talking this bird.
Just sandbag. Just like, shut up. I don't want to hear
you. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. That's so, marriage, am I right, people?
Right. There we go. There we go. Right. All right, gang.
Oh, that was sad.
I would guess it's time for me to send our listeners off on this magical journey that is Past the Gravy Classics.
Aw.
Vampire talking. Talking to vampires, I guess. We talked to Vodalok the vampire. But before we let you go, officially, give us a follow on Twitter, at Past the Gravy Pod. I am at Alex J. Middleton. And Brad, I believe you are at Brad Austin Glow, G-L-O. Mm-hmm. So follow him on there for all of his bird tweets, because he loves himself some birds.
Lots of facts.
Lots of them.
Lots of facts.
And that, I guess, will do it, boys and girls. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry we didn't have a full episode, but that'll all start up next week. And you know what episode we've got next week?
What do we got?
Episode number 69.
What?
The magic number.
Uh-oh. It looks like you're going to have to do something.
Screw number 100.
Yeah.
Who cared about? I didn't care about number 50.
No.
Number 75? I don't care.
No.
69 is where it's at.
Extra.
And there's going to be a fiesta.
Oh, my gosh.
A goddamn fiesta.
Are you?
I'm pretty jacked about
champagne?
It. Like, I campaigned with my champagne. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
There's been lots of rumors going around. I'd like to just clarify that I do, in fact, campaign with my champagne.
With your champagne? I like that.
And on that note, boys and girls, enjoy myself and Curtis Chafin from last year talking to Vodalok the Vampire. Pass the gravy, bitches.
I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills.
These guys were pimping it like it was candy.
A pack of wild dogs took over and successfully ran a Wendy's.
Oh, look at me, the millionaire who goes to see doctors.
You
just
smile and
follow
me.
You filthy animal.
What is this, a prey? The game is cold, but
it's crazy. What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
The only thing I think of when I think of my kids growing up in this country, if they say, Dad, what do we have left that's American-owned? And I say, son, I mean, there's not much to choose from, but that's what we have Pabst Blue Ribbon for.
Child, please.
The gravy, and for the first time ever, we actually got a vampire to come on the show. Today we are joined by Vodalok. How's it going today, buddy?
It's going pretty good. It's been an interesting week already, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to it since we spoke on email at first about a week ago. But
yes.
Let's get right into it. Where do vampires come from?
That's a good question. A lot of people out there like to say that vampires can be made or that they're awakened by a sire. Unfortunately, this isn't true. We're born the way we are, and if you're not born one, you're not one. You're never going to be one. That's the flat-out bottom line.
So how do you know you're born one?
People usually start realizing that there's something different about them between the ages of 7 and 14, pre-puberty. It starts very early. For a lot of us, it's being able to feel other people's energy, being able to sense when someone is upset. There's a lot of empathy involved. And we tend to be more sickly as children growing up.
So you get sicker more often?
Yes. There's a lot of discussion out there regarding why we are the way we are. And some people like to say that we're something else, but we're not. We're just human. And we have an energy deficiency, and there are a lot of people who want to dismiss even that. And the problem with that is that there are a large handful of physical disorders, disabilities, illnesses that we share in common, and the number of those is far too great to just be coincidence. So when we start realizing at a younger age that we're not like everyone else and we're having problems doing things that everyone else should be able to do and can do, you know how kids are. They can be cruel. They spot things. And the moment someone stands out, they isolate you. And that's something we have to learn to deal with right off the bat.
So like, do you go to a doctor to be diagnosed, or is it kind of a self-diagnosis?
It's a moment of self-awareness. It's like when someone realizes that even though they've been raised to be Christian, they're actually Buddhist, or they're actually Hindi or Muslim. It's a moment of self-awareness where you realize everything that you've been taught should be right isn't right. And the only thing that makes sense is what feels right. There are people out there walking around who are energy vampires and have no idea, because they refuse to accept the simple truth that they're not producing a certain type of energy in their body, and the only way to get it is from other people. And I'm sure both of you have been in a room where someone has walked in and the life just dropped out of the room for no reason.
That's interesting.
And typically that is an energy vampire who doesn't know what they are, walking into a crowd miserable, and suddenly they're feeling a lot better and everyone else is miserable.
Okay.
So just for everyone else's sake, the energy vampire is like someone who like kind of takes in, feeds off everyone else's energy and kind of sucks out of the room, to say?
Generally when that happens, they're not aware of what they are. Actual self-aware energy vampires are very cautious and very careful about what they do and how they do it. One of the rules within the community is never take without being freely given. Never. It's a big no-no. And it can get people in a lot of trouble for doing it.
Like legal trouble?
Depending on what they do, yeah. If someone is really stupid and doesn't try to educate themselves about what they are and does something incredibly stupid, yeah, they can get in trouble with the law. But for the most part, we go out of our way to make sure that we don't do anything wrong. I'm sure you've seen on TV people being accused of being vampires doing horrific things. They're not part of our community. None of them are. And whenever the media starts throwing around the word vampire, it makes every one of us cringe and just brace for impact, because we know it's coming. And it's an unfortunate thing that we have to deal with.
So there's a bunch of this, like you wouldn't consider them vampires then?
Not even a little bit.
It's like someone who just watched a vampire type genre movie and just is like, oh, I want to do that, and they just go out and make a menace of themselves.
Exactly. There are stupid people everywhere, and there are weak-minded people everywhere who are easily influenced. And you will find that the majority of actual vampires are very intelligent, very strong-willed, and very, very much aware of their surroundings and who's around them.
When I was doing some research, I realized there's what are called vampire courts, and I guess is that like an association of vampires? Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, the courts. Good Lord. I am not part of court. I am not officially part of any house. It is an association of like-minded vampires who come together to have a social community in which they can step out of the shadows and be free with who they are with others like themselves. Unfortunately, the courts, they like to set themselves up in ways that have people kissing rings and bowing down and kissing ass, which a lot of us just want no part of. Because, seriously, who wants to be a ring kisser and not have any kind of say in what goes on in their community?
Yeah, when I was watching the videos of that, they were the weird kind of, like, vampires, like, hey, look at me, I'm a vampire, I'm gonna go out in public and do this. And
well,
talking to you, you don't seem like you just flaunt it around all the time.
No, I don't. I don't hide it either. I'm actually fairly public about what I am. I'm a published author, like I explained earlier, and my pen name is L.A. Nance. You can find me on lulu.com. I do not make any secret about my being a vampire to anyone. If anyone asks, I tell them the truth. I'm honest about it. On Halloween, yeah, I'll dress up. It's fun. Everybody likes
to. Always on Halloween?
No. I'm usually a homicidal maniac. They look like everyone else. Thank you, Wednesday Adams. Go ahead.
Have you ever been a part of a court and you're just like, what am I doing? Like, what are these people?
No.
No, no. Never?
About 20 years ago, I tried to be really involved in the community, and I tried to find a house or a court to get involved with. And there was a level of arrogance at the time that was just, the Republican Party has nothing on arrogance in consideration to the way the courts were 20 years ago. They have no competition there with the arrogance, none. It was so bad that I found myself going, you know what, you're a bunch of assholes, I want nothing to do with you, and went and did my own thing. The last 4 to 5 years, I've become more active within the community again, and 99% of that arrogance is gone now. A lot of the old court systems are gone. There are a few places that still hold on to them, but they realize that they could not keep doing business the way they were. And they loosened things up. They became more understanding and less strict and assholish about the way they do things.
Yeah, the way you were describing them earlier just made it seem like they were a vampire fraternity.
Like, yeah.
Like cake stands and shit.
Back in the day, they kind of were. And it was really sad. It's like when I was 13... I spent some time growing up in Mississippi. I've moved all over the place as a kid. And I went to this one Baptist church and hung out with the guys there, and they were all baptized and good Christians, and they did everything they were supposed to do. But the moment they stepped off church property, they immediately grabbed their beers, their swearing, and everything that the Baptist church is against, and just went on their merry way, and they would put it all away on Sunday and pretend to be these nice people again. And that's the way the old courts were. When they weren't being publicly viewed, they were a bunch of assholes. But when they were publicly viewed, they put on their pretty faces and they wore their pretty mask, and they tried to come off as being regal and noble, and they weren't.
So they were essentially politicians.
Yes, like I said, the Republican Party has nothing on the arrogance of the vampire courts of 20 years ago.
Okay.
I could also see how, like, people, they can act out because they're around a group of people that it's a small group of people, and they're, like, finally, you know, hanging out and socializing with people that are like them, and that would give, you know, that would give anyone, you know, some confidence, and people may do some crazy things, but I could kind of see where they would be asshole-ish and whatever.
Well, there's a social hierarchy in any community or social activity that is established within human society. Anytime you get more than 5 people together, a social hierarchy is going to be established. Decent people will not take advantage of that. Intelligent people will not take advantage of that. It's people who have low self-esteem and have no self-confidence that take advantage of those social orders and that social hierarchy and try to push themselves further and higher into it.
All right, you're an energy vampire, correct?
This is my first one. Well, I've done some written interviews within the community, but this is my first interview outside of the community.
Okay, but you would consider yourself an energy vampire, correct?
Yes.
All right, when I was doing research, there was, I think, sex and blood were other types of vampires. Are those valid, like, recognized types of vampires, or
there is sanguine vampirism and there is tantric vampirism. Both are very valid. What you need to understand is that vampires do have a deficiency. Now, on the page you showed me, they were saying that that only showed up after the movie Life Force in 1985. That's not true. The movie Life Force, they had access to someone who knew something about the community, and they wrote that in. The idea that we have a deficiency has been around for a very long time. It's one of those simple realities of being a vampire. It's one of those things that you realize early on in childhood. The psychic vampires, they feed primarily on prana, on energy. Sexual vampires feed on that energy, but the only way they can access it is through sexual tension. It doesn't necessarily have to be intercourse. It can be through flirting. It can be through any activity that can lead to sexual tension. As long as that energy builds, they have something to feed on. Sanguine vampires, the way they access that that energy is through blood. And there are those in the community who say that's not necessary, but most of them are not sanguine and don't understand just how important that connection is. And to try and explain what that connection is and why it's important for a sanguine is very difficult, because there's a lot of phobias and there's a lot of stereotypes. And generally, the general community views sanguinism as a form of cannibalism, which is extremely taboo, and no one wants to even think about it.
Well, you're not literally eating the person.
No,
right?
Gods, no. Gods, no.
Okay.
and the fact is that for most vampires, the amount of blood that's needed to be sustained is extremely small. You can fill a thimble with it.
I just take a shot of blood and you're good?
Yeah. It'll sustain you for about a week to a month, depending on how much you are deficient.
So would they have an iron deficiency? Would that be their deficiency?
No. It's not the iron. It's...
Is it energy again?
It's back to the energy, and it's how it's accessed. Like I said, psychic vampires can just take the pure energy as is. They can walk into a room and pull off all the negative energy if they want and leave, and everyone will be left feeling extremely happy. Or, like I said earlier, someone doesn't know what they are, they can walk in and just pull all the energy out of the room and leave everyone feeling drained and down. Tantric vampires, they feed on sexual tension, not necessarily the intercourse. It's the tension, it's the emotion, it's the intent, it's the vibrations that get created during that moment. And for sanguines, the only way they can access that energy is through the blood.
So, like, energy drinks do nothing for you, right?
They make me jittery.
It's just not the same kind of energy?
Makes you jittery and have the shits like everyone else.
Yes, exactly. Like I said, we're human. We're a little bit different. We're still human. We're just different.
One of those vampire court things I was watching, it's an MTV True Life.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, where the girl on there was convinced that she was not a human. She was different than humans, and that's why I was confused, and that's why I'm glad that you're actually, like, breaking all this down for us. That's why we came to you.
Well, here's the thing. And give me a moment so I can word this correctly.
Yeah.
There are a great number of people within the community who accept that we are human, but we are different from human because of our deficiency. Some people take that in a literal sense and say that we are not human or that we're better than human, and the fact is we're not. If anything, we're more human than human. And that may sound odd or... what's the word I want here? Egotistical, but it's not. We tend to feel things more deeply. We tend to be affected by things more deeply. and we tend to avoid confrontations that could cause anger, strife, or any kind of dysfunction within our social unit, because we're going to feel all of that way more than anyone else. And if you have ever seen someone who gets upset easy or cries at the drop of a hat, it's because they're feeling everything that is going on around them, including what everyone else is feeling. It's called empathy. And
so
most
vampires, women are vampires, right?
To a degree, yeah.
No, you can keep going. I'm sorry. I tried to make it funny in that.
No, you're good. That was it's actually very funny. I've made that same joke. Most of us are very empathic in what we feel and how we feel it. So we really try to avoid any kind of confrontation.
That's got to be the best way to do it then. Because I'm sure there's everybody, like a lot of people are just trying to go out there and attack you for your beliefs and stuff, just like they would any other belief.
And I'm sure you've seen on TV the people who want their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Who are just... they're the lowest base of life possible because they don't care who they're hurting, how they're hurting them, or what. They just want their 15 minutes of fame. All they want is to be self-served, and that's what they're after. Most of the people who do that are not part of our community. We don't know who they are. No one has ever seen them anywhere, and they show up on these TV shows. And they do more harm to our community than they do good. Yeah, they're helping the rest of the world realize that, hey, we're out here, but they're making us look horribly bad.
Yeah.
So is vampirism, would you say it's like hereditary? Like, is it passed down? Is there family history?
That's a good question. There are a lot of studies inside the community going on right now, both for health reasons and things like that. As far as genealogies are concerned, I've only met a few others who have actual family members that are older than them, who are also like parents or grandparents and things like that. So it's not something that I could say yes to, because I've only met a few people who have claimed to be so.
But it does happen, but...
It does
less
happen.
Than usual, not usually, though. Less
no, often. No. It really is just the luck of the draw when you're born. You're either born a vampire or you're not one. That is the bottom line.
Alright, do you have your teeth? Do you have sharp teeth?
Let's debunk a few of these.
Yeah, we're trying to get to the bottom of all these stereotypes here.
No teeth. Well, okay. I have teeth, but
yeah,
I don't have fangs.
Teeth are important.
You got some chompers in there. Just not the canines you see other vampires with.
So,
do most of those guys file theirs down, and it's a cosmetic
thing? No, actually.
For them?
Actually, it's a cosmetic thing that's it's like a denture plate, and pop it in, and you've got mirror.
So, are those people typically fake?
No. Within the community, there are a lot of people who feel that the best way to, without having to deal with people and explain to them all of this that I'm explaining to you, because every time someone asks a question, it usually leads into anywhere from a 20-minute to a two-hour-long discussion trying to explain themselves. So a lot of people, they just get the prosthetic teeth and wear them when they go out to certain functions just to have everyone know, hey, this is who I am. Now, there are people out there who wear them just to get attention. I am not one of them. And I know a lot of people out there in the community who are just like me. They won't touch them. It comes down again to people who are looking for their 15 minutes of fame. But not everyone you see on TV is like that. The vampire court in Austin, they're a bunch of good people. They're actually trying to educate people, and they realize that the only way they're going to get people's attention to hear them is to be a little more flamboyant and draw attention to them. Because when they do, and unlike the MTV special that they did, they actually get a chance to do what I'm doing with you guys, explain what's actually going on. They're just a little more flamboyant about it than I am.
It's like they get people to completely go out of their way to ask them the question where you kind of let us come to you.
Yes.
Try to gain attention so that people become curious and then they can explain themselves.
Yes, because they live in that community and they have to deal with the people in that community. The faster they can get who they are out to the majority of that community, the safer they'll be.
Ah, I see. Do mainstream like movies like make you upset? Like when you watch like a Fright Night or like something like that, you're like, oh god, like this is just more shit I have to deal with. Like,
I love a good movie. When I first saw Fright Night when it was first released, I laughed all the way through the original. It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
A lot of us we enjoy the movies. We really don't see anything wrong with the movies or anything like that. The TV shows like the ones on UPN, I want nothing to do with them. They're a bunch of tripe and garbage.
What's your favorite vampire movie?
That would have to be The Addiction.
The Addiction.
What do you think about Twilight? Are you Team Jacob or Team Edward?
Fuck no! Don't even. God damn. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm just picking.
That movie is the biggest piece of garbage to ever be produced. There is nothing redeemable about that movie. Nothing. None of its sequels, none of it. The books are garbage. It's all, oh my god. Every time I see someone running around going, Vampire Sparkle, Vampire Sparkle, I want to punch them in the face.
Have you watched them all? Or did you just watch like 50 minutes of like, I'd rather...
I've sat through two of them, and that was more than I could deal with. I tried really hard to find something redeemable about them, but not even the actors' performances were acceptable.
The chick was pretty hot.
What are you talking about, Alex? I think I'm voting alongside on this one. I think crazy right there.
That chick is kind of hot in it. I actually didn't see any of the movies.
Because she's got hundreds of thousands of dollars of makeup on to make her look that way.
No.
I try to, like, after hearing about, like, everyone just trashing these movies, be like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to try to go an open mind, like, 50 minutes in, I'm like, all right, fuck this. There's no way I can sit through all this.
Exactly, and those movies just, no.
Okay.
No.
Our next myth. What about garlic? Do you eat garlic on your food?
I love garlic.
It says nothing bad to you.
Unfortunately, it doesn't like me. And I am unfortunate in that, to have that really ridiculous stereotype. But be advised, a large proportion of people of Scottish descent have an allergy to anything in the Ulm family, be it garlic, onions, chives, etc. I have that allergy.
Okay. Where did the whole like myth about it come from? Is that what it was from?
If myth means Hollywood movie magic,
is that
then yes.
Really it? Oh, okay.
Yep. It's all Hollywood.
Also, did you feel like the movie Blade was like the vampire's Jackie Robinson? Was he breaking the color barrier for vampires everywhere?
Wow.
No?
I didn't say that. I said wow. The Blade movie did a lot of good things for the movie industry. Did it break barriers for...
for black
did it break the race barrier?
Did it break a race barrier? No. It did great things for Wesley Snipes' career. It did great things for the movie industry. But there are a lot of people of color who are vampire, and you would be surprised at how many. They're all good people. I count quite a few of them as friends, and vampirism knows no race. It knows no heritage. It comes and goes from everyone.
Well, that answered that, didn't it? I feel stupid.
Let's step away from the whole movie bullshit for a minute.
That means Alex, shut up.
So, how many books have you written?
I have written, to date, 3 books. My first in my vampire novel, Incubus Succubus. The second is Maya's Tempest, which is a collection of short stories. And the third is a short but concise children's book about death called Everything Dies.
Brilliant.
Can you get all of those at Lulu?
Yes, you can get all of those at Lulu from just by searching for L.A. Nance. And Nance is spelled N-A-N-T as in Tango, Z as in Zebra.
Any relation to Jim Nance?
No.
Can you describe like an average day? Like, are you just a full-time author, or?
Pretty much, I'm a full-time author. My body decided to shut down around 10 years ago, and I ended up on Social Security disability. I am trying to get off of that by doing the writing. It's just one of those things that, as a vampire, when you don't feed as often as you should, your body rebels. It does not like it. And I tried to fast for a while, and I got the short end of the stick.
Didn't work out too well.
No, not well at all.
So when you, like, if you just hang out, you know, alone, you could definitely feel more depleted than if you're out and about. Like, do you ever just go to a mall and, like, feel a little better?
You don't want to take others' energies, right? That's what you were telling me.
Oh, that's true.
Right. Well, here's the curious thing about us. We need to be around people to stay healthy, but we generally tend to be loners. We prefer to be isolated. It's one of those conundrums that we have to live with. We want to be alone because we prefer being alone, but we have to be out and amongst the people if we want to survive, because you can't find donors if you're hiding in your room.
So how necessarily would you find a donor? Would you just be like, hey, I need to borrow some energy from you?
In some places, you can actually do just that. There are certain clubs and nightclubs and bars that the people that go there are extremely open-minded, and as long as you're upfront and honest, some of them will actually say, yeah, have fun. Otherwise, you have to be incredibly careful about how you go about doing it. There are people out there with a condition called Renfield's disease. It's not called that anymore, but it's the best way to explain it, where if they allow you to feed on them, they will honestly believe that you turn them into a vampire, and they can be dangerous. So you have to be on the lookout for people like that. You have to be able to spot them and avoid them in a heartbeat.
So it's like they would feel you taking energy from them, and then they'd be like, oh, well, I guess that makes me one of them.
Some of them just need you to give them time. You don't even have to feed on them. Some of them are so eager to believe that they are a vampire that all you have to do is give them time.
Can vampires feed off of each other?
It serves no purpose.
Is it deficiency?
Yes. It's like auto-feeding. It's another mental disability that involves someone cutting themselves and drinking their own blood and thinking that they're a vampire. Auto-feeding does absolutely no good to anyone. It's pointless. It's useless. It doesn't do anything.
So, okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around all of this. I've learned so much today.
Yeah, this completely has blown my mind. Like, so what I had written down to, like, wow, it's like
there's just so many varying stories you get when you look on the internet about vampires, and there's so many things that you don't believe, and then you're like, oh, well, this one said this, and this site said the other thing.
Yeah, that's true.
One of my biggest questions still about, you said sanguine is blood, right?
Yeah, sanguine is blood.
How do you get that? Do you really bite?
Or gods, no.
Okay.
Oh, gods, no.
Okay.
The human mouth is so fucking dirty.
My thoughts. I was like, that's got to be unsanitary.
Oh my god, no. Usually we prefer to draw it like you would at a doctor's office.
Okay.
With a needle.
So you just teach yourself how to, like, draw people's blood? And you're like, hey, come on over, or do you go to, like, a blood bank?
That's a touchy question that I would like to shy away from, because there are vampires in all walks of life, from the lowest person down all the way up to the highest person. And there are people who really like to keep their night side separate from their day side, and that's what we refer to it as. The mask we wear when we're in public is our day side, and our night side is who we really are. And a lot of people like to keep that separate. Feeding practices are extremely personal and private. I can't imagine you'd want to go out and tell anyone just exactly blow by blow how you had intercourse with your significant other.
I tell people that every day. That's what Facebook says. Yeah.
I'm not the average person.
I'm just kidding. I feel you.
I'm my own best friend.
It's a personal thing, and we do what we have to do, but we make sure that we do it safely and cleanly, so no one gets sick, gets infections, or anything like that. We're very careful about it.
So everybody's tested?
Yes.
All that.
God's yes. It's a requirement. If you're going to be a donor, you've got to be tested. You can look this up. It's called the Donor Bill of Rights. It exists out there, and it's something that a lot of us use as a guideline when dealing with donors.
Can vampires, like, when you see someone you know that they are, like, can they people hide it so well that you can't tell? Like, can you self-identify or identify others?
Yes and no. I'm going to say yes to that because I have been extremely successful in identifying others without them saying anything and catching them later on and confronting them on it. Not so much as in an aggressive way, but hey, it's nice to meet you. I think we have something in common. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
You know. It, because, like I said, keeping our day sides and our night sides separate is a really big deal. I do not build that wall between them myself. I'm fairly open about it. But a lot of people do, because society really frowns on the idea of someone identifying as a vampire. You know, I've known people who have lost their jobs, lost their homes. A few people have even had their children taken away from them. It's society frowns on what we are so much that we have to keep what we are secret for the most part, and it's really stressful, and it takes a lot. It takes an incredible toll on our self-esteem, on our self-control. It just breaks us down to the point where hiding really is the best option we have.
There's not really a lot of laws. Like, there's laws against firing someone over their sexualism or, like, the color of their skin. But there's nothing really being like, oh, well, we fired him because he's a vampire. And they're like, oh, we could probably say that, and nobody would believe us.
I think it's because people are just uneducated about what a vampire is. You know?
Yes. There is a lot of misconception about what we are. We're not the TV Hollywood movie idiots and monsters that are portrayed in films and sitcoms, etc. We're real people. We live real lives. We have real-world problems. We have to worry about our bills. We have to worry about our children. We have to worry about our family members. We have to worry about our cars, having enough money for gas. it's everything that everyone else deals with the added weight of having this deficiency and knowing how society looks at us. It's an extreme burden. Being a vampire is not something I would ever wish on anyone. The bottom line is, it sucks. It fucking sucks. There's nothing glorious or wondrous or romantic about being a vampire. It's a hard life. But we can't change what we are. And if we run from it, if we try to ignore or try to deny it, it breaks us down even more.
Oh, wow.
One other thing I've always wondered is, like, relationships-wise. Like, do vampires only date vampires? Or is it's not taboo to date another?
No.
Okay. there's got to be some problems in those relationships, wouldn't you think?
Yes, there can be problems if you're not honest with your significant other. If you try to hide what you are and have a donor on the side, they're not going to understand when they catch you. They're going to consider it cheating instead of, you know, taking care of what you need to take care of. So a lot of people, they will date outside of the community, and they'll be honest with their significant others and use them as donors.
So that's a pretty solid little donor setup, too, if you've got a
willing participant
that's also your significant other.
Yes.
And you can bang someone, too, because you're like, get it in there.
Are there...
Sorry.
Way to derail that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a locomotive off cliff right there.
Are there like hybrid vampires that are part like sanguine and energy? Like they can feed both.
It is possible. Some people will be able to do more than one way of feeding, but they'll claim their primary as what they are. But most people try to avoid the stereotypes or the titles. Most people just want to be who they are, and getting labeled within the community is it's pretty rough, because once you stick a label on someone, people who refuse to educate themselves on the other types of vampirism tend to be rather catty.
I can see that.
Yep.
Chatty Cathy.
It's an unfortunate thing. Like I said, sometimes we're more human than human. We can be harder on ourselves than the rest of society can be.
The sun. What's the deal with the sun in vampires in reality?
That is another Hollywood stereotype that unfortunately almost hit the mark.
Really?
Almost. See that? Just
what do you mean by
a little bit?
You ever walk out into the sun and feel like you're being burned alive?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of us have a sensitivity to the sun. For us, it feels like being burned alive with red-hot needles jammed into every centimeter of our body all at once.
That's not pleasant.
No, it's not.
I would not do that thing that made me feel that way.
I've actually been put in the hospital from sun poisoning more than once. When I was 17, I died of a sunstroke. So for me, getting out into the sun is not a good thing.
You died of a sunstroke?
Yes.
And they brought you back?
Yes.
Nice. Wait, how'd they bring you back?
A paramedic showed up in time.
You got the little clamps?
I'm really not sure. I was not present.
Yeah, you probably weren't around. You weren't really there. You're me just asking you, hey, when you were dead, did you like have an out-of-body experience and notice what was happening?
No. I did have an out-of-body. I saw the tunnel. I saw the white light.
Really?
And coming back felt like trying to shove an elephant through a hole about the size of an inch, quarter.
Really?
It was not fun.
What other crate? What other like cool stuff like that? I mean, I guess that's not cool, but like,
interesting. No, it's not.
Not yeah.
You made your friend hide his face.
I'm embarrassed for him. It's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah. I guess why don't we end this before I say something
else?
Do you have something to ask, Kurt?
I'm good. I just gonna say, do you have anything else that you want to clarify or talk about before we wrap this
up?
Yeah,
what else do you think the public should learn?
I think I've covered all the bases. You know, the last thing I'd like to leave you guys with is, if you find out someone is a vampire, don't ask them all kinds of questions because they've heard them all before. I know that you want to know. And if you say, hey, can I ask you some questions? And they say, yeah, go ahead. Be respectful with those questions. Because we have been given such a hard time for so long that generally when we're approached like that, we roll our eyes and go, oh my God, here it comes, and we brace for it. So be respectful to the people. Don't give them a hard time. And if you find out someone is a vampire and you see someone giving them a hard time, stand up for them. Let them know that they're not alone anymore, because that's the biggest problem we have, is we get so much grief for being what we are. It makes us want to hide from everyone. And it's an unpleasant, unwelcome feeling, because we can't help who we are. This is what we are. We were born this way. We didn't choose this. So if you find out someone is, be nice to them. That's
no
the last thing.
No one likes to be an outsider.
Yeah, quite literally.
I learned so much today.
No, honestly, we had no idea what to expect coming into this.
From what
we had seen on YouTube and everything, some of the vampires I talked to were
and
all
just
high
reading.
And mighty, talking down to people, and we were like, I don't know if this guy's going to believe us. I don't know how he's going to be. And you were badass the whole time. Like,
thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us, man.
Just being honest, man. Have a good day.
We appreciate it. Take it easy, man.
You too.
Do you have anything you want to plug before we go?
Go to lulu.com and look for ellienance.com. Help support a starving artist. And everything's good.
There we go.
All right, guys. Be well.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Pass the gravy, bitches.
It's getting kind of hard to believe things are going to get better. I've been drowning too long to believe that the tide's going to turn. And I've been living too hard to believe things are going to get easier now. I'm still trying to shake off the pain from the lessons I've learned. And if I see Van Helsing, I swear to the Lord I will slay him. Ha 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 ha, he'd take you from me, but I swear I won't let it be so. Ha 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 ha, blood will run down his face when he is decapitated. His head on my mantle is how I will let this world know how much I love you. Die, die, die. I can't.